Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. All right, everybody, I have the great privilege of spending a little time having a conversation with Dr. Paul Homily. For those of you that have listened to my podcast for a long time, you've heard me talk about his book, recommend his MP3 at the time, which was, at the time was like 10 bucks. And
right.
now you'll give it to us free.
That's right.
And you've heard me recommend his Making It Easy online training program. And so what I want to do today, Paul, first of all, thank you for taking the time.
Absolutely. Tarun, this is fun for me, too.
Yeah, you know, for our listeners, I had Paul in our office doing a in-office training today with my team because it's been 10, 12 years almost since I've engaged in the case acceptance training.
Right.
And I talked to everybody on the podcast about how the number one thing that out of dental school at any point in your career, you got to learn communication.
Right.
You know, too often we're learning dentistry that we're never doing. So, Paul, what I would like to do is I'd like to frame our conversation today, okay?
Okay.
I'm driving to work today. I'm the one doctor practice with one to two hygienists doing anywhere between $600,000 and $900,000 a year, maybe a little bit more,
okay.
Maybe a little bit less. I want more. I know there's more, so I have a desire.
Right.
I've spent the money on all the CE from all the fancy institutes, mine included.
Right, right.
And I get back to the office and I'm just not doing as much of that dentistry as I wanted.
Sure.
And let's talk about why that's happening.
Well, you know, that's a very common scenario. Yeah. I hear it all the time. Well, I just got done with Dawson, or I just got back from LVI, or I just got back from Spear, and I'm really excited. And they bring this new standard of care knowledge mm-hmm. with them. And they try to implement it, but they try to implement it based on how they used to present care to patients. You see, a lot of the doctor that you just described, chances are really strong that they built their practice on the bread and butter patient.
Of course.
You know, it's that patient whose total case fee is less than a couple thousand dollars. They sit down with the patient and say, well, here's your problem. You got this and this, and here's how we can fix it. And let you talk to Janet, my treatment coordinator, and we get you fixed up. And everybody's happy. And they throw in a little bit of patient education along the way. And with good people skills and some common sense, people can build a general bread and butter practice.
And they can make a great living doing that.
You can make a great living, and there's nothing wrong with that. However, for a lot of dentists, the bread and butter practice, after a while, gets to be a bit of a drag. Because frankly, how long can you do class two decomposites and single unit crowns? After a while.
Or even two or three crowns.
Right. Exactly right. What you want to do is you want to be able to express your full ability to practice dentistry. Now, the problem is they run off to the institute and they come back and they have this whole other vision of, wow, dentistry is much more expansive than I thought. So they sit down with their new treatment planning skills. They present their care, but they present care using their old verbal skills, their old patient education model. And the patient education model that is telling patients what their conditions are, how they got those conditions, and what's going to happen to them if they don't fix those conditions, and then turfing them off to a treatment coordinator, simply is not a process that's going to give predictable long-term success in building a practice. The optimal configuration for any dental practice is doing more procedures on fewer patients. More procedures on fewer patients is going to yield higher profitability, less stress, and just greater career satisfaction.
And longevity.
And longevity overall. Yeah. And as, with as much respect that I have for Frank Spear and L.D. Pankey and Dr. Dawson and you and all of the gurus that are out there teaching that, the one thing that does not really come through well in a lot of advanced continuing clinical continuing education is how do you go back home and sell it?
Yeah, the business part of it.
The business part of it.
And it's not really business. That's part of the problem, Paul. It's not, in my opinion, it's not business. It's just talking to people.
It's relationship.
It's connecting with people.
It's connecting with people. Yeah. And you know what? And when you look at an advanced care practitioner, a good example of this was one of my mentors in my past is Dr. Carl Misch. Mm-hmm. Carl would have patients coming in from all over the world. He was Carl Misch. Same thing with Dr. Dawson, having patients come in from literally all over the world. And for them to offer care, it's a different environment. They already have the celebrity status. People right. are walking in, they're already ready. If a woman gets in a jet and flies from Brazil and lands in Miami, chances are she's pretty ready.
And they can afford it.
And they can afford it. Yeah. But for the dentist that you described, that $600,000 to $900,000 a year dentist that's been in practice for, let's say, 8 to 10 years, they don't have that celebrity status. They're going to have to kind of slug it out. They're going to have to build a practice a different way. And again, what I would suggest to you is that the model, a great model to follow, is to evolve a practice from doing lots of small procedures to doing fewer patients but more procedures per patient. When you're into the bread and butter practice where you're treating one or two teeth at a time, there's a lot of what I call transaction drag. Mm-hmm. You got lots of insurance and lots of saliva ejectors and lots of patients.
Lots of visits.
Lots of business and back and forth and multiple hygienists. And dentists get caught into this hurry sickness, one task after another, task, task, task. They're very task-oriented. And in order to get through the day, they got to complete all the tasks that are on the appointment book. And after 5 or 10 years of doing that, that's the way they see dentistry. Now, what if you took a different mindset about this? What if it wasn't about completing tasks, but what if it was about building relationships? And building relationships is more than just being nice. It means being strategic in your conversations with patients. There's basically two types of conversations you can have with patients. There's those conversations you can have that revolve around standard of care. Here's what I see. Here's what we can do. Here's
traditional dental school model.
Traditional dental school model. Exactly right. The other conversation domain would be standard of caring conversation. Standard of caring is when patients experience that they'll be well cared for. In standard of caring conversations are about suitability. How does this dentistry fit into your life? And what aspects of your life now do we have to kind of work around it? And what are the behavioral benefits you're looking at? See, the big split, the big chasm, the big gap here is that the traditional dental school model looks at how do we treat conditions? And the benefit of treating those conditions is that they're no longer conditions. We're going to restore this tooth. We're going to eliminate the disease. Benefit-related conversations are more about how does the condition interfere with the patient's lifestyle?
Right.
How is it getting in their way?
Embarrassment. You know, confidence at work.
Exactly right. Confidence in intimacy right. situations.
Bad breath. Even as something as simple as a little bit of perio disease has this concept in it.
Absolutely. And so the concept is that conditions oftentimes have what I call disability associated with them. Disabilities are those behavioral entities that interfere in the patient's lifestyle. There's something about their teeth that's interfering with their lifestyle. It's their confidence, it's their appearance, it's their ability to digest their food. Disability is never in the mouth, Tyrone. Yeah. Disability is in their life.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode. Imagine this. You get to the end of the day, you don't feel tired, you kind of take a look at how your day went, and you realize that you didn't work that hard. You had team members that were engaged. You had clinical team members that were doing the heavy lifting for you. You had hygienists that were helping enroll patients in treatment. And you had front office team members that knew what they were doing and were making sure that you were getting paid and that you were scheduled properly. I used to believe this was a pipe dream. I used to believe that the way to increase your revenue and to increase profits was simply working harder. And then I realized that the real key is about working smarter, not harder. I founded 3D Dentists on that simple principle. How we can take different techniques and different services, add them to a practice while making things easier for us. If you'd like to learn more, all you got to do is visit www.3d-dentists.com and look around. If you got any questions, don't ever hesitate to reach out to me directly. Now, let's get back to our show. I'd like to use an example, if you don't mind.
Sure, please.
We were teaching a sleep apnea seminar a week ago or so in Phoenix. And, you know, we were talking to one of the docs. We do home sleep testing on them. And you know, he had a pretty – his data was pretty bad.
Okay.
And he was concerned. Okay.
This is a dentist.
He was concerned. He wanted to do something about it. Okay. But I didn't see that level of urgency in him that I was hoping to see. So having known something about him through our day and a half there together, right. I knew his age. I knew he had grown up, what I would consider grown up kids, and he had grandkids. I looked at him and I said, listen, do you not want to be there for your grandkids? And then the urgent,
disability. See, yeah, right. That's a disability.
And that's what I'm trying, to get dentists to understand. It's not about how technical you are. It's not about any of those things. It's about how does this affect your life? For example, think of it like a ball tire. Like I go to Mercedes. I say, you just tried to sell my wife wrong.
Right.
Instead of telling her how many tire tread you got left, why don't you say, do you want to fall off the road and have a blowout, or do you want to just get this fixed?
Right.
You know, that's to me, it's the same thing.
That's right. Dentists are busy telling how many millimeters of thread they get left in patients' smiles.
And how big the margin gap is, what bonding agent we use, and what material we use. And those things don't matter.
Well, you know, the interesting part is that, you know, we teach basically the way we've learned.
Right.
And if you think about how we've learned a very linear, a very cognitive, a very step-by-step process. And when we present treatment to patients, oftentimes that treatment plan, Tarun, simply is a narration of the treatment plan. We're going to do this, 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 and this. And I'm not saying that it's wrong, and I think that approach probably works pretty well for the modest care patient. That is, patients whose total care needs are not so extravagant, typically less than, let's say, $3,000. But now when you've got a patient that needs significant rehabilitation and their cases are $15,000, $20,000, this narration of the treatment plan really doesn't become influential. What becomes influential is understanding the behavioral benefit they're looking from treatment. And that's so much of, if there's a secret to this thing, is become more benefit conscious and less procedure conscious. That dentists who really thrive in more complete dentistry talk in terms of outcome about improved appearance or greater confidence or ability to chew and enjoy their food or improved digestion.
Less problems into retirement.
Yes.
You know,
dentists who get stuck when they're talking about inputs. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do crowns, bridges, and stuff. And you see, that's what dental school has been all about, is they taught dentists how to talk in terms of inputs, what we do. Complete care dentists learn to talk about what you'll experience out of it.
Yeah. So I wanted to, I described at the very beginning, I described a certain type of dentist.
Yes.
And I was really describing myself, okay, 10 years ago when I came, 10 or 12 years ago. And I want to kind of go backwards with this for a second. Okay?
Sure.
Because I think one of the things that happens, okay, is I hear... On one end, there's this typical general dentistry patient. And then oftentimes we as educators and teachers, we talk about this patient that needs extravagant amount of work.
Right.
And that's great. And that's sexy. That's sizzle. Mm-hmm. That sells.
Right.
But where I saw the magic in what you're teaching was taking a patient from doing reactive dentistry to being able to have a conversation and fit and looking at doing proactive dentistry. And now suddenly I went from doing maybe a single quadrant to getting the patient to enroll into full quadrants. Doesn't mean crowns on every tooth. That may mean fillings on every tooth.
Sure.
But I was more efficient. And the other thing that I saw was when I got patients to agree to complete treatment and we're able to make firm financial arrangements, suddenly I controlled the schedule.
Right.
And it wasn't
right.
The patient controlling the schedule.
Yeah, and you weren't chasing tasks throughout.
Right. Wasn't like every time the patient came in, now let's talk about your next quadrant. And then we went through the same thing again.
Right.
We remade financial arrangements every single time. And I think those are the things that make practices busy and not fun anymore.
And that's that transaction drag that I was talking about, having to make financial arrangements for every procedure that you do. You know, the whole idea of complex care needs to be based on every patient who's gone through a complete exam.
Right.
I'm talking about complete exams, not emergencies now, but the complete exam patient. The complete exam patients should be offered the complete array of care.
Right.
Complete care.
They should be made aware.
They should be made aware of it. Now, that's the rub, though. How do you offer complete care without blowing patients out of the water? See, that's the dilemma that dentists
ask
get
them.
Into. Yeah, that's the dilemma. You see, if a patient needs $15,000 worth of dentistry and you just say, well, you need $15,000 worth of dentistry, oftentimes that sticker shock may embarrass or anger patients. But what if you examine that patient and you know they got existing conditions, but you don't offer complete care, you only offer partial care because that's what you think they can afford and you play it safe. So instead of recommending complete care, you recommend partial care. Now, that's an easier sale to make, but you violate dental ethics in the state law because you're not revealing conditions they have. We're required to do that.
We're required to inform.
Absolutely. So dentists are caught. And, you know, when I speak to audiences, over 70%, Tarun, dentists say that they don't offer complete care because they're afraid of losing patients to sticker shock. And what my process is about is how can you expect case acceptance without ever losing patients to sticker shock. And it isn't that you can prevent sticker shock. Patients are going to have sticker shock. I mean, I'm surprised by how expensive dentistry is.
It's surprisingly expensive.
It's surprisingly expensive. So they're going to be surprised. You can't do anything about that. But what you can do is structure your mindset such that even though they may not be ready for care, you learn to offer it in such a way they felt so good about the way you offered it that they remain in your practice.
Right.
See, that's the deal. You can't prevent a sticker shock, but you can create systems and mindsets around keeping people in your practice. So when they become ready, when their budget changes, or when they get a new job, or the kid graduates college, or they finally get divorced, whatever it is, whatever life event occurs for them that changes their financial picture and they become ready for care, when it's no longer sticker shock, they become ready to care, well, they're already in your practice. Yeah.
And they already trust you.
And they already trust you, exactly. And they already know your team. Right. And maybe they've been through half a dozen recall cycles, so they're accustomed to coming to you.
There's no reason for them to look elsewhere.
There is no reason.
All right, so Paul, we've talked about the overall concepts, and I'm living proof that in a PPO practice, where 80% of my patients have XYZ insurance that we participate in.
That's right.
That we're doing significant amount of right-sided dentistry. Okay?
Right. Complex care dentistry.
Complex care. And that doesn't mean, and I want to be very clear about that, that doesn't mean all implants, full arch implants. That doesn't mean that's some of that. That doesn't mean full mouth rehabs where we're putting crowns and veneers in every teeth. I consider complete care dentistry where we address all the patient's needs. And it could it could be a mouthful of fillings. Because a mouthful of fillings adds up to $6,000, $7,000 pretty quickly.
Sure.
Pretty quickly, okay? So people have bought into that. Okay, so what I would like to give our listeners...
Excuse me.
That's okay. What I would like to give our listeners are some tidbits that have been very helpful for me.
Okay.
That they can put into their practice, maybe without going through everything. But they can see this and they can start seeing how these little things make a massive difference. Okay?
Absolutely.
So the first thing I wrote down was a choice dialogue. I want to frame this for you. Okay?
Oh, the choice dialogue. Okay.
Because in my
opinion,
I think it's almost the most important one.
Okay.
Or the most impactful one for me.
Sure.
Okay. So I want to frame it. Okay. So we got a patient that comes in the chair, whether it's hygiene chair, however you bring patients into your office, and they've got a broken tooth and a couple of fillings around it that are broken down and leaking.
Right.
But they've got several other areas that could benefit from proactive dentistry.
Right.
Okay. And what I've seen people do is they sell that quadrant and they huff and puff and they've seen success.
Right.
But how do we go from that quadrant to asking the patient to talk about or getting permission to talk about all the other things that
all
are going on?
Yeah. And the secret to that is the choice dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's the new patient. They've got a chief complaint, this tooth right here. But during the exam, you notice other conditions too that are really not high on the list. So that's the problem that I had early in the practice. So what do? Do you offer complete care? Do you just fix the one tooth? Do you focus on same-day dentistry or do you focus on complete dentistry? And then it just dawned on me, it's not my choice.
No, it's not your decision to make.
It's not my decision to make. It's their decision to make. So what I developed was what I call a choice dialogue. You're the patient, Tarun. Mm-hmm. Okay. You've got this tooth here that's bothering you, but you also got other conditions. I've just completed the exam. I said, well, Tarun, you know, now that I've had a chance to look at you, I can see why you're not happy with that front tooth. I get it. I also want you to know that I see some other conditions in your mouth. But you know what? Before we decide on anything for you, I want you to know that you always have a choice with me. At this appointment, you have a decision to make. We can choose to focus on getting you comfortable with the appearance of this tooth, or in addition to that, perhaps today might be a good time for us to look at all your teeth. What would be better for you today?
And see, to me, the part of it's about framing it to where the patient doesn't want to say no.
Right.
Right? You know, it's almost like going a step further. It says, listen, I always tell my patients, I would say, Mr. Jones, listen, there's no obligation on my end. What I look at from my end is if I give you a plan for everything, at least you know what's coming down the road.
That's right.
And you can budget it. But at the end of the day, I always give them hope at the end. I say, whatever you decide, we're going to take care of that, and I'm going to wait with you.
You.
Until you're ready.
I'll wait with you. That's a powerful phrase.
And they come straight from you, right? So to our listeners, if you can go back tomorrow morning, okay, or whenever, and you start seeing patients that have lots of needs and we have a tendency to diagnose the one area, start by giving them a choice. Just ask the patient permission to make a plan for whatever's going on, and then live by what they choose.
And you know what my experience has been here? For patients who have significant lifestyle-altering conditions, the broken front tooth, they're going to choose that.
Of course.
Patients, if they've got conditions with moderate disability, most of them, I'm saying 80 or 90% of them, will choose the complete exam. That's been my experience.
Right.
If patients choose to treat the chief complaint only, then we treat it, but then at the end of it, then we revisit.
We give them an invitation.
We give them an invitation. Tarun, now that you're happy with the front tooth, let's do this. Yeah. Talk to Joy at the front desk and get an appointment for a complete examination. That way, I can tell you about the other conditions in your mouth Would you do that for me?
Yeah, I love that. Well, can you do that for me?
Yeah,
because now you've made it personal, correct?
If it's not personal, then what is it?
And that tells a patient how much you care.
That's right. Because yeah. I do care. If you don't care, you don't belong in dentistry.
Right. That's part of it.
Right. If you don't care, I mean, you got to care. I mean, isn't that one of the essential characteristics of a successful complete care dentist?
Absolutely.
You got to care.
It can't be just about money.
That's okay. Right.
All right. So we've given everybody the choice dialogue.
Choice dialogue. Okay. That's right.
So I'd like to give them a couple of more things. Okay.
Okay.
So what I wrote down that popped into my head, and I'm thinking back 10, 12 years now, what okay. I've seen as being very good is the concept of planting seeds.
Planting seeds, certainly.
So let's lay something out here. Okay. So it builds on the choice dialogue.
Yes.
Okay. In my opinion. Now we've given our patient a choice.
Right.
And they choose to hear the whole game plan.
Right.
Now they make a decision to activate only one area,
right.
Or sometimes even no areas.
That's right.
Now, the beauty of that to me is what we've done indirectly is we've already made the patient aware of other things and we planted a seed so that when they're ready to move forward, you're the person they think of. And they almost walk in and say, Doc, you know how you told me about that?
Right.
I should have listened to you then.
Should have listened to you back then.
Yeah.
Sure.
So.
Well, you know, when you think about it, there's only two reasons why patients accept care. One, behavioral benefit, and two, it fits into their life, right? Now, when you think about complex care patients who have a whole mouthful of problems, do they want to feel better about themselves? Do they want these problems solved? Yes, they do. So that really fulfills the first requirement. The second requirement is, well, does it fit? Can they afford it? My experience has been with patients whose total care fees are greater than $10,000. That fewer than 5% of these patients are ready for complete care today.
But the gurus tell us they have 90% case acceptance, Paul.
Well, stop listening to that.
Number one, so if you don't mind me interrupting there.
No, go ahead.
So number one, they have people that say they have high case acceptance. I believe they're not giving the patients a chance to say yes to the best.
Right.
I believe real good case acceptance, in my opinion, is probably more in the 20% ballpark. Like if you're hitting 20%, you're crushing it.
You know, the case acceptance curve, if you look, when the fees are very low, case acceptance is very high. When the fees are very high, case acceptance can be very low. That's not the point. The point is that you give people the big picture of what complete care looks like, but then you have intelligent conversations about what's suitable for them. See, the standard of care conversation is, here's everything you need and here's how we can fix it. The standard of caring conversation is about, what's suitable for you? How can we fit this into your life? What's going on now? Help me understand. Give me an idea of a budget that I can work within.
Making it safe for the patient to say no.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's an importance in that.
In making case acceptance not a condition of a good continuing relationship.
Yeah, letting people know, like, listen, like I've done this in my career. When patients look at me and I know they're going to say no, I end the conversation and say, Paul, no matter what you decide, what's most important to me is that you schedule your 6-month appointment so that we can make sure that we keep you on track and prevent any major issues.
Sure. And that way, when they become ready, they're already in your practice.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into Full Arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3d-dentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Cerec or Serona cone beam owner, don't trick yourself into thinking you already know everything there is to know. Because the truth is, when you decide that that's happening, you've merely chosen where to level off your practice. Too often I hear cone beam owners and Cerec owners tell me that they haven't taken any education or training in the last several years. It's a mistake. That technology is constantly evolving, and that technology is getting faster and faster and faster each and every day. You owe it to yourself, you owe it to your practice to get the education that will help you get results for your practice. If you're looking for a resource, don't hesitate to go to 3D Dentist by visiting www.3d-dentist.com, where you will find some of the best cone beam training and Cerec training in the country. I look forward to seeing you at one of our workshops in the near future. Now, let's get back to the show. All right, the last thing I want to talk about is I wrote down a lot of stuff.
Wow, you got some good notes here.
I got a lot of notes. I want to do something that's a little bit controversial.
Sure, let's okay? go.
So
I'm no stranger to that.
I know, okay? We both believe, you more so than me, okay? Well, you before me, let's say,
all right,
and more conviction than me, that we should learn our patient's budget before we treatment plan and present to them.
That's right.
Talk to us about that, because that's not what we were taught in school.
Oh, no. Absolutely, yes.
That's not what we're taught by the gurus, even.
Right. Yeah. Everybody says, don't diagnose the patient's pocketbook. You don't belong. Don't talk about fees with patients. I totally disagree.
Yeah, me too.
If there's anything I want to know about patients, it's their budget. Because let's say this is their treatment plan. It's $15,000. And I discover their budget is five. Okay. Well, can I present them a $5,000 treatment plan that has the end game in mind of complete care? Certainly,
absolutely.
I can.
Absolutely.
Certainly, I
80%
can.
80% of the time, you can do phase treatment.
Absolutely. The biggest cases I did in my mm-hmm. career were phase treatment yeah. over time. So the big mistake is presenting complete care to patients in absence of knowing their budget at all. You have no idea about yeah. their budget. You just dump $15,000 on them and go, I had no idea it was that expensive. And that's when you get all that pushback. Then they say, okay, we won't do the implants, or we'll take this yeah. away.
Or we won't do a crown, we'll do a big filling.
We'll do a big filling.
As a dentist, we complain about having to do big fillings all the time. You put yourself in a position to have to do that.
That's right. So you start taking treatment away from patients, and that devalues the relationship. Let me tell you how to determine a budget.
Yeah.
Here's how you do it. We've done a complete exam. You've got a lot of needs, and I'm getting ready to dismiss you, okay? I've got the study models, I got the photographs, I have everything you need. Your next appointment is going to be with me. It's called a case conversation,
right,
okay? But before you leave, I say, you know, Tarun, you know, before you leave, I want you to know that I've done cases like yours a lot. And many patients are surprised about the expense and complexity of dentistry. You know, you've told me that you've got your boys are in school and that you're building your business. And I want to know that this may not be the right time for you to get your teeth fixed. And the reason that I say that is that dentistry, most patients consider it expensive and time-consuming. So during our next appointment, I'd like to talk to you about what fits for your budget and what fits for your schedule. Is that something that you'd be comfortable talking about now?
Yes, I would. It's important because I need to know what I'm getting myself into.
Well, to run a case like yours, generally speaking, is anywhere from $15,000 to $22,000. Generally speaking, it takes us about 4 to 5 months from start to finish. Most of our patients make an initial down payment and pay for it out over time. Typically, a case like yours might be $300 to $400 a month. Does something like that fit for you, or do we need to think about...
You know, I can see the big picture that way, Paul, Dr. Homily, right. but I want to be honest with you. I want that. But what I know right now is I want to get started and I want to get down the path.
Okay.
And you know, I could probably, between my insurance, some FSA money,
right,
I might be able to put $4,000 or $5,000 into it this year.
That's all I needed to know. And so next time what we'll do is I'll give you an idea of the entire treatment plan.
Okay.
But we'll start with your budgeted amount. We'll start there. How does that sound?
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
Good. And now all the pressure is off me and you.
Right.
You know, coming back, you're not going to have any sticker shock.
Right.
Because I already know your budget. I already know. Now I've got a lot of confidence going into treatment planning.
But now for those technical dentists, okay, now what I'm hearing is now I know what I would prioritize, how I would sequence it.
That's right.
What would take most importance? What if this were my mouth? You know, I always look at it this way. If that were my mouth and I had $5,000 to spend, where would I prioritize it?
Where would you put it?
And that's how we talk to the patient then, right?
It's that simple.
You know, and to me, all of this is it's common sense.
Well, that's the problem. I think there should be the American Academy of Common Sense.
Common sense case acceptance.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
You know, all right, so... We've given you three things. We've talked about
choice,
seeds, and asking for the budget up front.
That's right.
I want to clarify one thing for our listeners if they forgot or because sometimes the driving is. The conversation that we're having today is about what we call the right-sided patient.
Right, the complex care patient, those patients whose case fee is total greater than $5,000.
Yeah. It works on insurance-dependent $1,000, $2,000 cases, especially the choice dialogue and planting seeds. But we're really focusing on getting beyond some of that dentistry, okay?
That's right.
So what do you think holds dentists back from this, and how can you help them get forward on this?
You know, let me ask you a hypothetical question. Okay. Patients have sticker shock that occurs about the $3,000, $5,000 level.
Yeah.
Okay. Dentists have sticker shock levels too.
Oh, it's not much higher than that, by the way.
It's not much higher than that. Through my research, I found that most dentists begin to get sticker shock at about $6,500.
Yeah.
They begin to choke. Now, so let's say you have a sticker shock level where you become uncomfortable quoting the fee, and it's $6,500. But you've got a $20,000 case in front of you, and they're eager to go, but now you get to quote the fee. Now, this is to answer your question, what's holding dentists back.
No.
Now, your sticker shock level is $6,500. The patient's $20,000. So you're not going to have a lot of confidence going into this conversation, are you? But what if I was to say that you knew as if by magic, just go with me on this.
Okay, I got you.
All right. You knew as if by magic that this patient was going to say yes. You had some vision or something where you were totally confident they were going to say yes. Here's my question. If you knew they were going to say yes, would you have any lack of confidence?
Of course not.
I
would want patients, practice full of those patients.
Sure. So what that says is that your sticker shock is not about money. Your sticker shock is that you don't know how to handle, I'm not ready.
Right. Or you haven't had a conversation with the patient to find out where they're at in their life.
Yeah. You don't know how to handle no. You see, most complex care patients who have, most complex care patients who have total case fees of greater than $10,000, most of them aren't going to be ready the first time they hear their treatment
95% plan.
95% of them. So you need to get a mindset about lack of readiness being more normal. And so when I go into a case presentation for these higher fee patients, I go in with the expectation they're not going to be ready. And that doesn't argue against standard of care. What that does, it just coincides with normal behavior is. So when I offer my treatment recommendations, it's going to be based on their budgets. And you can't do that unless you discover. And don't shy away from asking patients about their budget. They had to consider budgets when they bought their house.
One of the most important questions you ask.
Right.
Good real estate agent asks that right up front, over the phone. Even.
Over the phone, they'll do it. Or if you buy a car or college expenses or home expenses, you're always going to be looking. Part of your conversation with any service provider or any product dealer is going to be what fits in your budget. It's no different in dental. But in dental, we lose our minds. When we've had practice management consultants tell us for 30 years, doctors, you shouldn't talk about money.
Never discuss the, or never give fees over the phone.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
Like the worst.
That is absolutely the worst track you
if
can
If somebody asks you a question, answer it.
It's that simple.
Paul, I want to leave with a couple of things here. Okay?
All right, I'm ready.
One thing that I said today that stuck in my head, and two things that you said that stuck in my head. Okay. So I'm going to start with one of your things. And it really stuck in my head. Okay?
Well, during our day today.
Yeah, day together today.
Was that terrific? We had your whole team there.
And see, look, I tell people all the time. I said, what holds dentists back from taking education sometimes is the cost of taking 10 team members.
That's right.
Flying there, taking time out. And then they said, that's why I don't do it. I said, okay, then just hire the speaker to come to you.
Yeah, just that's what we did.
That's what I did.
Yes.
You know, I said, all right, I'll just find out what does it cost to bring Paul to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's cheap. Oh, even if it's the same cost.
Right.
It's very customized and detailed to where I'm at, and the conversation goes down a path that fits my practice.
Plus, it was more of an intimate conversation, yeah. And I can get into more sensitive issues with you guys because I don't have to play to unqualified dentists.
And my team can ask questions, and I can say, yes, I agree with Paul. I want to do it that way, or no, I don't want to do it that way,
right.
And we'll talk about that later.
We'll go down a different path.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So one of the things you said today was a lot of dentists have been in practice 15 years, and the last 10 of those years have been the same year over and over.
Right. I've been in practice 15 years, but it's more like 1 year, 15 years in a row.
It's amazing to me.
Yes.
Like that stuck out to me because that was my first 10 years of my career.
Right.
You know, they were just a modified version of the same thing, but it was the same year over and over again with a few twists and turns. But the last 5 years for me have been me doing the dentistry I want to do, me mm-hmm. choosing what I want to do, me having good relations with my patients and people, you know, thanking me, knowing about my kids, you know, and not ever being embarrassed about the car I drive or my patients say to me, I'm glad I could put your kids through the private school. I'm like, thank you very much, you know, that kind of stuff.
You know, what's interesting, the patients didn't change at all.
No,
you changed.
I changed. I got more comfortable with myself and I expected more of myself really what it started to be.
Dentists who blame the patients,
that's a
limiting belief. The patients in your practice, the patients in my practice, generally want the same thing.
They're human beings.
They're human beings, and they want the experience of being well cared for. And they're not going to change. Patients don't change.
No.
What changes is how we approach those patients. Yeah. And so that was your experience.
Yeah, that was my experience.
Yeah.
I mean, not so much in the last 10 years, but the first 10 years was definitely that.
Right.
The other thing that you said today that really, this one really stuck with me, because I think it defines kind of, in three words, what I'm trying to get dentists to understand. You know, efficiency trumps, dentists believe that efficiency trumps effectiveness.
That's right. That's right. We get seduced into efficiencies.
Yeah.
Patient comes in and they're really busy. Well, let's have the hygienist. Put them in hygiene. Hygiene takes the x-rays. Hygiene cleans the teeth. Hygiene, you need this, you need this, you need this. And it's kind of an assembly line. And it's very efficient.
I call it becoming too systems driven or too systematic. We become, actually, I think the word for system driven or systematic should be dogmatic.
Right.
And that's what I think too many practices are becoming today.
But it's a very efficient model. So you can see 40, 60, 80 new patients a month and grind your way through it.
Yeah.
That's efficient.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. However, if you want to build a complete care practice, that is a limiting process.
Yeah, if you want to be able to work into your 60s and not have broken back.
Right. if you want to be able to offer patients complete care and see fewer patients but do more procedures per patient, then the efficiency model doesn't work. It needs to be an effectiveness model. An effectiveness model is about building strong relationships first, and then the dentistry follows.
The thing I wrote down today that I said that I thought was brilliant. Okay, I'm going to give myself a little bit of credit there.
This
okay.
is good.
We were having a conversation between team members, and they were giving an example of a case of how they started down this path, and it just became this cycle of working on this tooth, and nobody was happy in the end. Okay, no. Number one, the patient wasn't happy, the doctor wasn't happy, and we made no money.
No
on it, okay?
money.
And I said to them that they were asking, you know, why did that happen? I immediately, before I even let you answer, I said it's not a treatment planning issue; it was a conversation issue.
That's exactly right.
You know, and I think too often, the things that don't go well, or when patients don't say yes, when we know they should be saying yes, or whatever it is, it's not a treatment planning issue. It's not a treatment presentation issue.
Right.
It's a conversation issue. And we didn't set ourselves up for success, or we didn't realize. Like, it's like knowing if I know a girl has a boyfriend and they're never going to say yes to me to go out, why? Like, I
why
don't
would
ask.
You even go there?
Yeah, right. You know, unless you're that kind of person, right?
Yeah.
Paul, how can we learn more about how you teach?
Wow. You know, I'm out there in social media. You can see a lot of the Facebook Lives I do.
Yeah.
I would say there's a certain sequence to it.
Okay.
I would say Start with the online program.
Making it easy.
For patients to say yes.
How do I find that?
You just go on my website, paulhomley.com, look for the online program. Okay. The online program is very complete.
How much does it cost, by the way?
$97 a month.
So $1,000 a year, essentially.
$1,000 a year. It's less than you spend on cotton rolls.
But pretty much.
Yes.
It's cheap.
The online program, it will take you through 16 video lessons. I also include in there my ebook. So the book that you guys are reading, that comes with the online program. Start there. Once you get through the online program, then your path can bifurcate. Okay. You know, some dentists and some teams can self-implement that. A lot of them, though, need kind of an extra hand in it, and that's when we can do stuff like we've done with you, or we do Zoom or video conferencing. That kind of, there's a split in the road there, and then that becomes customized based on our needs. Yeah. But the easiest and the best and the fast and the cheapest way to start is get involved with the online program.
All right, so for my young dentists that say they can't afford $1,000, go on Amazon and buy the book.
Yeah. Okay. You can go on Amazon and buy the book.
It's $15.
$15. If you can't afford
such a good book.
If you can't afford $15, shoot yourself because it's there's no hope for you.
How about this? If you can't afford the $15, email me and I'll buy the book for
you. That's
right.
Tarun will buy the book for you. Tarun.
Thank you, Paul.
You're terrific.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I look forward to doing this again. I look forward to doing this 6 months from now as we put you and your team more through this.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to interview you on this show.
Interview my team members. That'd be even
better.
And
your team members about what it's done.
That'd be even better.
Yeah.
So, I'm open to it.
So stay tuned, everybody.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much.
All right.
If you've taken sleep apnea training to only get back to your practice and not be able to reap the benefits, then you need to listen to this message. I've teamed up with Dr. Aaron Elliott, and we provide a level one sleep training that's focused on implementation. It's not focused on all the science. It's not focused on all the things that could possibly go wrong or go right. It's focused on how do I get my team on board and how do I make this a part of my practice that's not complicated. So, if you're looking for sleep apnea training that just gets you started, that's down to business, that's not full of any fluff, then you need to take our level one implementation program. You can find out more by visiting www.3d-dentists.com and look for our sleep apnea implementation program. We look forward to seeing you at a seminar soon.